Hello and welcome to another episode of the Movie Podcast. You guys look really upset, by the way.
I don't know if you wanted us to, like, to harmonize that or just to...
Yeah, I didn't know what you were going to say.
I didn't think
you were going to say the Movie Podcast. I thought you were going to think of something else, but...
No, well, why would I do
that? I don't know. Just to play with us.
Listen, the voices you're hearing beside me right there, the judgmental ones, the ones that wouldn't harmonize with me. The first one is Anthony.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Doing well.
You had a good week?
Yeah. It was a good week. Thanksgiving week.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving was in Canada, was on Monday.
Yeah. Canada.
But yeah, it was a good week.
Nice. That's awesome. And then the other voice that wouldn't harmonize along with me is none other than Daniel Baptista.
Hello there. Hello. How you doing? I'm good.
Yeah. How was your week?
My week was good. We had a lot of leftover turkey from Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
We also had Nathan Johnson on our show.
We did have
Nathan. I mean, no big deal.
Oh, yeah.
We had Nathan Johnson.
Yeah. Nathan.
That's on our show, talking about his compositions.
Okay.
what are you talking about? Get ready for this. Compositions.
You won't believe this, but this composer.
Yeah, that was this week.
That's awesome. Yeah. We had a good week. I'm really glad. Yeah, I also had a good week.
Did we ask him, though?
No, he didn't ask me, though. But I think I'm the host here.
I was the first one that he asked, and I said...
But I said, do we ask him about his week?
Oh, nobody cares about
okay.
me.
Yeah, okay.
Shay, yeah. How was your week?
That was good. I just kind of hung out, you know?
That's good.
I see you're wearing the Batman shirt.
I am wearing a Batman shirt.
So that came in.
That came in.
In honor of the delay till 2022?
That's right.
The shirt was
just just to remember the pain. So I'm wearing a Matt Reeves the Batman shirt right now. As always, you can catch a new episode of the Movie Podcast every single Monday across all your favorite podcast services. And if you want to be a part of the show and give us some of your comments, suggestions, and corrections, head on over to thistimewith.com/talk. Open up that mailbag, write a couple of letters, and hit send. Or submit. I don't even know what the button is on there.
Send or submit? That's a great question.
Send mit.
What's the mailbag send, though? There you go. There it is.
It's very Hannibal Lecter, though. So I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, I don't. I like
but
it.
You're the but one like, that, you're the one the that created it, though.
I went.
No, you toned that down this time. That was the light version.
And just like hardly in the microphone talking about it too. But we're 13 days from Halloween.
We are.
Unlucky spooky. Number 13.
Spooky days.
Yeah.
But is that from the date of listening or the date of recording?
Day of recording.
Ooh. Yeah. Now the audience knows when we record again.
Damn it.
If they haven't figured it out already.
We record the show before they listen to it.
All right, guys. You can follow us at The Movie Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and join our Discord. Please check out our show notes down below for a little surprise. The surprise is our notes.
I haven't been to the Discord channel. Yeah. Is it? How is it?
It's just popping.
Is it?
Yeah. We're just talking movies and shows and hanging out there.
It's just finger popping.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, because Discord is new to me, so I'm learning.
You should join our own Discord.
Yeah. Before you join any others, join ours.
Oh, yeah.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
I think I downloaded the app today.
No, that
didn't create an account yet.
That's not the app though. That's okay.
Which app?
I don't know. I'm just looking at my
Safari notes
right now. I don't like it.
Okay.
All right, guys. So we have some reviews up, some great, great, great reviews. We have The Trial of Chicago 7. This movie just came out last week, technically, if you're listening to this, courtesy of Netflix. So thank you for them. And definitely give that one a listen. I think it was a fantastic film, and I think we all did. And it's very relevant today. We also have a review of On the Rocks available. This is the Sofia Coppola, Rashida Jones, Bill Murray film that's available on Apple TV Plus. So
this week it comes out on the 23rd,
this Friday, I believe. So please go ahead and give that one a listen if you're curious about Apple TV Plus and its offerings. Dan and I do a pretty good breakdown of, you know, how we found it, and closer to the 1 year of Apple TV Plus, we'll definitely give our, you know, re-review of it, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bracket update. So we have, you know, our Halloween bracket running right now of best horror films. This has been a scary one to edit, to be honest with you, because I'm not the best with horror movies, but it's whatever. We had The Exorcist up against The Lighthouse, and we had Scream up against It. The Exorcist came out on top, and along with that, Scream also came out on top. So this week, what we're going to see is Halloween versus The Shining and The Exorcist versus Scream.
This is going to be a big week.
What do you guys think is going to come out on top?
I think The Shining versus
Halloween.
Halloween? Oh, I think The Shining may pull a sneaky and win there.
Okay.
But I think I want Halloween to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Because 2018 Halloween, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want Halloween to win, but I think The Shining will win.
Yep.
And I think Scream will go on. I think Scream's going to win everything, to be honest with you.
You think so?
Yeah, really? I think Scream is just going to take... Just judging by how many people voted for Scream. Scream was against The Lighthouse, right?
No, Scream was against It.
Okay,
yeah. Exorcist was against The Lighthouse. There's only one person that voted for The Lighthouse.
Yeah, it's the person who put it in the poll.
Yes,
bracket, which is me.
It was Daniel. Everyone else said, why did you do this?
When we saw how much Scream just decimated It,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, I think there's enough of a Scream fandom that's going to vote this thing to the
end. I love Scream. I watch Scream every Halloween.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. I Scream all the time, too.
Yeah, I remember, like, growing up, like, I didn't really watch the Scream movies. I saw them on, like, Much Music growing up, like, during the Halloween season, but I never, like, had real memories of them other than, like, channel surfing scene. But I went as the
Ghostface
for Halloween with the blood pump in my hand.
Yeah.
That shit was cool.
I would say like Scream is our generation's Halloween.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
Halloween
isn't,
but then Halloween is so like on social media. Halloween pulls in more of the videos and the talks about Halloween.
Yeah,
like the physical day,
right?
So and Scream is there, but not as big as Halloween.
Yeah, that'd be a good topic for us to do. Like the best, like I don't want to say like killers, obviously, but like both best like horror characters,
mascots, yeah,
like
yeah.
mascots, because like we have like I feel like recently maybe Pennywise. Oh yeah, because it's the last episode before Halloween. Stay tuned for that.
That's a really good
Hannibal Lecter's a good
idea.
Okay, we'll
okay, okay,
shut up.
Okay,
shut your mouths.
Next week we're talking about like Easter Bunny.
Yeah. What's your favorite bunny film? Peter Rabbit 2, obviously. All right, well let's jump into the news here. That's so good. Oh, I love it every time. All right, first bit of news here we got is Furiosa, Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, Yahya Abdul-Mateen 2, the second. I don't know why I made him a sequel to himself, to star in Mad Max spinoff.
Technically is, you know, like you're a sequel to your parents,
it's
right?
It's true. Oh, damn, that's deep. This is coming from our good friend Boris Kitt of The Hollywood Reporter. So Warner Bros. And filmmaker George Miller are returning to the world of Mad Max Fury Road. Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II will star in Furiosa, a standalone action-adventure feature that acts as an origin story to the powerful character first embodied by Charlize Theron in Miller's Oscar-winning 2015 movie. The studio announced Tuesday. Although the movie is not greenlit, the castings put the project on the path of getting made after years of anticipation from fans and years of teasing by Miller, who said that he wanted to return to the character and that the post-apocalyptic world. Miller will direct, co-write, and produce the project, working with longtime producing partner Doug Mitchell and their Australia-based Kennedy Miller Mitchell Banner.
Ooh.
Anthony, what do you think?
That's great. I'm excited to see George Miller direct again, because he hasn't directed anything since Mad Max, and that was fantastic. And it's another type of Mad Max storyline, so I'm super interested.
Yeah.
And it's Furiosa.
Yeah, yeah. And I also really like Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's such a good actress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Chris Hemsworth is in it, yeah. So that's huge. I wonder what character he plays. Does he play one of the...
Someone Australian, probably.
Someone Australian.
Yeah.
George.
But yeah.
I think I'm more concerned, though, that since it hasn't been greenlit yet, we see a lot of projects get cast and then just kind of sit there.
Right.
Like Miller's Justice League.
Yeah, I was going to say that there was 2 weeks League. Away from shooting, and then they're like, nah, writer strike, we're not doing this. Yeah.
But we've also seen things, nothing's going to come to my mind right now, but we know we've seen it, where it's just like, oh, cast. Movie really hasn't been greenlit yet. So that kind of puts a bit of a red flag up in the air of, is this actually going to get made?
Right.
But yeah.
This story, like, they've been talking about this forever.
Since 2015, I feel like we've been hearing
literally
Furiosa spinoff. And then we heard Anya Taylor-Joy earlier this year was like the rumored person to be cast in this.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that, like, again, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II has been, I think, in everything now. Mm-hmm. Like he's having
everything
a hell of a career so far. Or in the last year, I would say he's been in like Watchmen, Trial of the Chicago 7,
Aquaman.
So it's like, it's nice to see. It's crazy to think that like George Miller is going to be like, this guy's 75 years old. And he's like, yeah, let's do another one. Let's go. Which is dope.
Maybe he realizes like he doesn't have that much time to make more movies.
Yeah.
Like he does take a long time. He took 10 years off, I think.
Yeah, between Happy Feet 2
and
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fury Road.
Or something like that. Or
always blows my mind.
Another movie. But
that he did Happy Feet?
Yeah. What were you doing all that time?
I don't know.
You should have made Happy Feet 3.
Maybe.
And Happy Feet, I have never watched Happy Feet, but it's gotten great reviews. Yeah. People love it. So.
And it came out at that time where it's like March of the Penguins was huge. And they're like, Happy Feet. So Penguins had their resurgence in like that that late 2000s era.
Never doubt a penguin.
No.
Is what I always say.
They have it's interesting to see like these directors now that like technically like are even our parents grew up watching. Because like, you know, George Miller, the first Mad Max came like out in like 1979 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's still making movies. They just announced this week Ridley Scott he's making a Napoleon movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Ridley Scott's like 82 years old. And then Martin Scorsese's still making movies. He has Killers of the Flower Moon coming out. It's like, damn, like there is a long line of directors who are like 70 plus still just pumping out giant films, which is interesting to see.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's the first time we've ever, like, films have really rigid, like, within the last 100 years, right?
Yeah.
So if you've been...
They've been around for that.
Right? Like, if you... Minimum. If you look at these directors, they're about in their 70s or 80s. We don't know, like, who's the oldest director out there, right? So this is that type of, I guess, part of history that we're learning how far you can go to direct a film at what age and, like, the toll it takes on you.
Yeah.
I guess for, like, Scorsese and Spielberg, they have a team or they're just so well versed in making films. They know what to do and how to handle it.
Right.
Also, their names are so synonymous. What pressure is going to be put on them?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Spielberg 73. It's interesting because like we always kind of heard that line from Tarantino. He's like, yeah, I only want to make 10 films because directors after 10 movies, they kind of lose their quality. At that point, that's mm-hmm. something Tarantino's always... But it's just crazy to see, like, damn, like, we're living in a time where these directors have been working, like, for a better part of, like, almost 50 years now. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're still making movies. That's crazy.
I think Clint Eastwood is...
Oh, my God. Oh, Clint Eastwood, I totally forgot. He's probably the oldest one.
Just bones at this point. It's like dinner... It's like Weekend with Bernie, and they're just using, like, strings on him the whole time.
Do you guys know how old Clint Eastwood is?
I want to say 85.
Is there a number that exists?
A quantifiable number? There is a quantifiable
number. He's X.
What do you honestly?
I think he's 83.
I said 85.
He's 90.
Damn. No!
He's 90 years old, man.
No way.
My God. And his last directed movie was Richard Jewell.
So if movies have been around for 100 years,
Yeah, like you got to think. Like, what movies with sound, picture and sound?
Was he in the talkies?
I'm pretty sure he was, like, you know, he knew Howard Hughes at one point.
He probably did. He was at Hughes' house, like, listen, dude, why are you peeing in these jars?
Wasn't Howard Hughes' movie the first movie to one have
the,
sound?
The first one, the sound, yeah. The plain one?
The plain one. Yeah. Battle of, or the Angels.
Hell's Angels, I think. Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Think about that. That wasn't that long ago where you know, sound and video were first put together. I think that was in the 30s and 40s. So it's actually it's very close to 100 years.
When you think of like when you put it in perspective though, when you're just like 100 years feels like a really long time, obviously. But when you kind of like this year, I feel it's kind of going faster now. But like mm-hmm. in the scope of a year, it's like we've been doing the show for 2 years in March.
Yeah,
doesn't feel like that.
No,
so like. Time is just such a weird thing.
Yes, especially this year.
Dude,
like, think about it. I was just saying, sound and video were just put together in the 30s or 40s or 20s. 2020, you have digital characters that are photorealistic.
Yeah,
yeah.
The amount of technology that has spanned in the last 20 years is far beyond what anyone from the years before that
from there
could even imagine.
Yeah.
So imagine 20 years from now.
Oh my God, it's gonna be crazy.
40 years from now. Well, like, what do movies look like?
Yeah. I mean, like, look what was achieved with a movie like The Lion King, which couldn't even happen 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, to that level. And it's like, how do you elevate that even further? Like, it's crazy to think. Like, how do you make that look better?
I'm not looking forward to another James Cameron Avatar, but I think he would be the one who would push even further.
Yes.
He would push technology and film further.
Look what happened with CG and 3D. Even though 3D like was more of the fad. Like, I mean, like, when's the last time we saw it? When's the last 3D movie we saw?
I want to see The Lion King.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Lion King was the last one, because Disney was like the last studio I think to still be pushing out 3D. Warner Brothers really wasn't doing it.
And we would always try to avoid the 3D screening, but sometimes it was just unavoidable.
That's what you got.
3D TVs?
But I mean, like, I had one.
I had one too. I still have one. Yeah, I have three in my house, and like, I don't think I've ever used it once.
I used it when we were like, when I first got the TV, I was just like, look at this, and then I can make movies that aren't 3D. I'm like, this looks terrible. Yeah, it's like 480p.
I had Days of Future Past like on 3D Blu-ray because it came with the bundle, and I was watching it. I'm like, oh wow, this is like, my eyes are bleeding at this point. It was hard. And then they had, I think the PS3 had games that you could do in 3D.
Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
Yeah, I was playing Arkham City in 3D, and I was like, why am I doing this to myself? It was so painful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are more like the gimmicks, but I mean, like, when you look at the technology, the CG technology of Avatar, it's like what ILM did and like Weta and all of those people did.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Unreal.
Yeah. Unreal.
I think when I first started to realize that technology was going to start to really be scary was that Tupac hologram in Coachella.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
When that happened, I was like, what
the
fuck?
But yeah, that's George Miller's.
That's George Miller's.
Yeah. Mario Supreme.
That was our...
we went on a bit of a tangent there, but I hope you guys all stayed along
for the ride. It all came together.
On this Fury Road.
See? Brought it back together.
Next story here we have is Disney says its primary focus for entertainment is streaming. They announce a major reorganization. This is coming from Sarah Whitten of CNBC. Disney is restructuring its media and entertainment divisions as streaming becomes the most important facet of the company's media business. On Monday, the company revealed that in order to further accelerate its direct-to-consumer strategy, it would be centralizing its media businesses into a single organization that would be responsible for content distribution, ad sales, and Disney+. Shares of the company jumped more than 5% during after-hours trading following the announcement. The move by Disney comes as the global coronavirus pandemic has crippled its theatrical businesses and ushered more customers toward its streaming services. As of August, Disney has 100 million paid subscribers across its streaming offerings, more than half of whom are subscribers to Disney+. I would not characterize it as a response to COVID, CEO Bob Chapek told CNBC's Julia Burstyn on Closing Bell on Monday. I would say COVID accelerated the rate at which we made this transition, but this transition was going to happen anyway. The new structure is effective immediately. The company currently expects a transition its financial reporting to reflect these changes beginning in the first quarter of fiscal 2021. I'll be honest, I always forget that Bob is the CEO of Disney.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah.
It's still Iger to me.
Yeah, because Bobby Whitehead, White Gloves. I mean, he has white.
That's just a fact.
Bobby White Gloves. I was like, what is it? Robert Vanilla.
Bobby Two Eyes.
Bobby White Gloves, like. He's still in the company, though. He's still hanging around.
He's pulling the strings, though.
You know what
I mean? He's at the water cooler, just like, what do you want?
Yeah, Bobby, I don't know if you want to do that, Mr. Chapek.
He's like the scene in Sicario with, you know, Benicio Del Toro's character at the water cooler, and that lawyer walks up to him. That lawyer is like Bob Chapek, and he's just talking to him. Like, oh, the wife and kids, they're good. And then he picks up like a giant jug of water to like go waterboard somebody.
Yeah. He's like Putin.
Who is?
Vladimir Putin.
Who is the? I know Vladimir Putin.
Oh, Bobby Whitelaw's Iger. Because he's there. He's not leaving.
Yeah.
He's not the president. He's not the CEO. But like, he's still there. Like, he's still like, the CEO.
Guys,
right?
Stop right there. No, don't do that.
He's poisoning people for some reason.
Damn. He's just taking.
I got Mickey, you know, smothering people in the back.
Mickey's just like pillows on top of people's faces. <He's just bugs. laughs>
I don't want to do this. Oh, I think Bob listened to our podcast.
And which Bob, just though?
The Chepik.
Chepik.
And probably listen to what we were saying.
I think he did, too.
I think we've been saying that since...
2004. Yeah.
The what, sorry?
They should be focusing on streaming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, again, does this news surprise us?
No.
I think the big takeaway that you said, that I guess that Bob said, is that this was always that this was always going to happen. It's just transitioning faster now. And, I mean, that's realistically...
It's huge. It's not surprising, you're right, but it's huge because you would think Disney, who, during this coronavirus pandemic, has been very... weird, I guess. Like they've to me felt like the most disorganized.
In what sense?
In the sense that when you look at, you know, their parks, opening them up right away. When you look at their release strategy of films and movies, it's just kind of like, okay, we'll do something called Premier Access. Okay, now we won't. Now we'll remove this movie. We'll put this on there. Like dropping Artemis Fowl on there. Like it almost like they're so aware of what their film's quality is. And they're just like, okay, no, we want money for this, so we'll do this. So it's kind of felt like they're just, you would expect that company to be the one that's like, okay, we know what we're doing. Everyone take a seat, take it easy. I know I'm saying this, and obviously no one can know really how things work.
Right.
But you just think when you're the biggest company in the world, you have a lot of R&D being done.
Right. But I guess like what R&D could really be done into...
I don't know.
How people are going to react in the pandemic.
I don't know, but that's the thing, right? Like, you would think that since you're so giant.
Yeah, I think a lot of corporations don't know what to do.
Because they're scared of...
Again, even the government doesn't know what to do. No. And exactly. Any government in the world doesn't know what to do unless they've dealt with it in the past.
For sure.
Yeah. This is the first time we, in North America, have dealt with it.
Right.
And there's a big chunk of people.
Yeah.
And culture plays a huge part in it.
Sure.
How you were brought up, how you think. This is not like, you know, you're in... China, in a sense, where that culture is more aware of viruses and even how their government works with
It was like
people in a
this is going to be a lockdown,
stricter,
this is, right,
and how they just say, yeah, we agree with that or just comply. So there's a lot of things that are new to everyone.
Sure, and that's a good point because again, when we knew like when COVID first started breaking out, we heard like, oh, lockdowns in these countries, you can't go out, you can't do this. Where in North America, we have very much that mentality, in Canada too, and that's why I'm saying North America, where it's like, we don't let the government tell us what to do. We rebel against that. We'll have anti-mask rallies. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Mm.
But like, I think just in terms of like with this news, I think this was always going to happen. And I know Disney's, again, huge company, so many different legs of the company with the resorts, with the theme parks, with theaters, with
cruises,
with so many aspects of what Disney owns. Again, they're going to kind of freeze and be like, what should we do?
Because
we have investors, because if people start selling that Disney stock, then that's not good.
Yeah.
But what this does make me hopeful for is next year, a lot of things that may have been looking at, like right now, I know Black Widow is still posed for theaters in May. I feel like we may see it theaters and Disney Plus. Like, I think they're going to really start changing.
I was so down for that from the beginning. Like, you know? If you did, gave me the option for both, because I remember that was supposed to be Mulan.
Right. It's
supposed to be, hey, theaters and Disney Plus.
And wherever theaters are open. And then it was just Disney Plus.
Because even theaters, like, you don't know if they're going to be open in May.
No.
Right? Like, they might close down.
And that's the thing. It's not even the fact that it's going to be safe to go. Is once everything is open, will they still exist?
Will they be running?
Yeah. Will they be running? Like, we know... Right now, Cineplex is closed here in most parts of Ontario, or the most populated parts of Ontario. Theaters, Regal is closed up until Bond. Like, are these theaters going to survive 4 or 5 months closed with no revenue? Like, how much popcorn? Like, and I'm not even saying this as like a joke. Like, how much concession could they be selling? Because a lot of them are selling concession, like at their front doors
Uber Eats.
Like, how much concession can you be selling to? You can't sustain a business that way.
And I feel for the companies that, you know, our mom and pop theater chains.
Like,
you know, we think about the one that we have here in Ontario. Well, not Ontario, but there's a lot, but closest to us would be the film.ca.
Film.ca, yeah.
And we had a great experience, and I truly hope that they're doing okay.
Yeah. But it's just like, this is good for Disney's bottom line. This is good for the consumers. But what this is not good for is the theaters, because theaters are going to be like, shit, that's Disney. If anything, Disney movies are almost guaranteed box office successes.
Yeah.
Because any Marvel movie is going to be $1 billion, essentially. And now it's like, if they're going to rework this whole, their whole priority, if things are going to go to Disney Plus, then that's going to start to hurt theaters.
Do you remember the beginning of this year when, you know, everything was starting and the CEO of AMC was trying to come after Universal?
Yeah, for Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, like you look at that and you're like, was it worth it, dude?
That's the, like the assassination of like Franz Ferdinand, like that. That started the
great band.
That started like the war.
I wonder how like theaters interpreted this message when they heard that they're
at the mercy of them, right? Like, what are they gonna do?
Right, like, but you know, like just that what you just said about Universal.
Yeah,
you know, there were repercussions, and yeah, we're not gonna play your movies here anymore. Now you're not gonna even play Disney movies there anymore.
Yeah,
or let alone any type of movie. It's just yeah,
yeah. But like going back to that, it's like we're gonna look to that as like that was the first, like them refusing to show Universal movies is like that was like the first like
sign,
the sign of like shit, things are about to, there's gonna be some type of theater streaming war happening that I'm really curious to see what next year is gonna look like, because you know, like obviously right now Warner Brothers is like, yeah, Batman's getting a movie, but it's also getting an HBO series. Suicide Squad is getting a movie, but it's also getting an HBO series. So it's almost like they're trying to create like supplementary content to not only get theater money, but also get streaming money. And now with Disney focusing, like the biggest studio of all, I mean, Disney last year, it was
80% of the
box office. Remember, like I was saying, like, yeah, Disney by like September is going to have more money than the year before. And it's like they did. And it's like they still had Frozen coming out and everything. Yeah. It's insane.
That was last year. That's why.
That was last year. It feels so long ago.
Yeah.
Does Disney Plus increase in price this year?
Great question. I don't think
so. This year, no.
I don't think it will see an increase in price for 3 years.
Yes. Yeah. 2 to 3 years max.
We got an increase in Netflix, though.
Oh, we talked about that last week.
In Canada, if you're on the premium end.
Yeah.
How much is $18.99?
We're like at $18 or $19. Jeez,
that's like nuts. Like Crave here for us. You know? I don't think that's worth that price.
I don't think so.
But like just for, because you're paying more for the quality, like the.
Well, you're paying for their, so I was going through their 4K list,
Dolby Vision,
and they have like 100 shows and movies coming out in the next three months, from November to December. They have like at least 50 shows.
Nuts.
And it's like, well, that's, I'm guessing they're just spewing money to anyone who wants to make something and hoping that it's good, but. That type of business model, like mentality, it's not gonna work forever, because you're gonna reach a limit where people are not gonna pay that.
I don't know, man. I feel like people, like Netflix is just one of those things now that you can think of it like your phone bill now. Like all these other streaming services, they're not at that level yet. Maybe Disney Plus, because like Disney Plus is like. You're paying for Disney for the back catalog, essentially, right? Like, if you're looking at, like, I know we're going to talk about Disney Plus in November, like the 1 year kind of recap, but like, still to this day, Disney Plus has the best, I would say, catalog of any streaming service in terms of, but like, with the back catalog, what they're bringing to it. Just because, what you're getting there is you're getting every single Star Wars, every single Marvel, every single Pixar, every single Disney, like, you're getting all of that for $8.99 a month here in Canada, which is insane. But like you're looking at like Netflix now is just people have had it for like 10 years now and are so embedded in it. I think they just, I don't even notice now when my Netflix charges me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's right either.
No, I know. I just like, how do you want to be remembered for great content or do you just want to make money? Cause I feel like in the long run, in the grand scheme of all things, it's not always just about money. It's about
sending a message.
Your legacy.
It's like your legacy. Like you want to leave a legacy.
Sure.
You don't want to be that company that just makes money.
I always think about
I don't think Netflix
the cuties controversy that happened, though. Right?
Sorry?
The cuties controversy that happened with
Netflix. Oh, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Like, didn't affect them
at all. Yeah,
no. Because that was more, like, was it being marketed like that here, too? Or was that more the Netflix
it was here
franchise?
Too.
Side?
Yeah.
But it's funny then, like we have our next news story, which like we'll talk about. But like, you see the talent now that Netflix is drawing, and it's like, you know, Netflix, you know, started out like Kevin Spacey and House of Cards, like that was a big deal because like, oh my god, like Kevin Spacey is doing this, And Robin Wright.
David Fincher.
It was David Fincher's show on Netflix. Like, it's a Netflix original show. Like, Netflix has never done original content before.
And then,
like, Orange is the
New Black was coming out. You know? Like, oh, this is interesting. And then...
And then it just exploded. Snowballed. And now with the movies, like, we're seeing Netflix getting nominated for Best Pictures. And I think...
The Irishman was a big one, remember?
You know, The Irishman and then Roma.
Yeah.
And then, like last year, we were talking in our Trial of the Chicago 7 review, like, this is probably going to be, like, in every award category next year.
Yeah.
And it's, like... They've built that brand now that it just feels like everlasting now.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it two or three episodes ago about, you know, will there be an Oscars this year? And I said no. And now that I've watched a couple of movies, you can clearly see there's some movies that are streaming based that are going to be probably nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think Netflix is their year to win.
I think so.
A good chunk of.
I think so.
Awards.
Do you mind they still lose somehow? Like they lose
like you
else?
Lost? There's only like two movies.
Yeah.
There was a
Bad Boys for Life won Best Picture? What?
There was a story. An article somewhere that I read that there's one nomination for a Tony Award for best, I guess, performance, and it's this guy from Hamilton. And it's only him because there's no other I guess at that time there was no other.
Can you imagine winning that?
And you're just winning it.
You're
on
just
your
like,
then you still lose. They're like, and it was undecided.
No, but what?
I was the only nomination.
Bad Boys 4.
Life.
For Life. Is it 3? Oh yeah, sorry. Bad Boys 3 will be nominated. It has to be.
It has to be
part of that 12 nomination. You can't discriminate against it.
Well, I don't think it'll be nominated for Best Picture, but
you
I
gotta
think
give
it's
it
gonna
to
be Best Picture. Like, it's gonna win.
They have to fill out 12, man.
But there's been enough to win, to set a Best Picture, I think.
You think?
I think so. Because I saw
one. So aggressive, by the way.
You think? Yeah. Name them now. No, but I was seeing some of the like Academy Award like film Twitter talking about it, and I was seeing like the list. I'm like, yeah, like that does look like it could be a list for next year. Like from Netflix along, Trial of Chicago 7, Mank, the Chadwick Boseman one. Like there's a lot still coming, I think, that we're going to see, but. Yeah, what a year this is. I think we say that a lot.
I'm just saying Bad Boys for Life should have won.
100% with you.
Yeah.
I'll start the campaign with you.
Next story, again, about Netflix. Leonardo DiCaprio. You guys heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Meryl Streep, you guys heard of her?
Yeah. What's she done?
I didn't say anything. Jonah Hill, Timothy Chalamet. I have to say his name like that. Cause
I, you know, every time I see his name, I think of Swiss Chalet.
I always think of Swiss Chalet. Ariana Grande, Himesh Patel, and others joined Jennifer Lawrence in Netflix's Don't Look Up from Adam McKay. This has come from Justin Kroll of Deadline. In what is to be one of the biggest lineup of A-list talent since Steven Soderbergh assembled his Ocean's 11 team, Netflix and Adam McKay are giving Jennifer Lawrence quite the group of co-stars to join her in Don't Look Up. Leo, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Blanchett, Jonah Hill, Himesh Patel, Timothy Chalamet, Ariana Grande, Kid Cudi, or Scott Mikuski, Matthew Perry, and Tomer Sisley are joining this ensemble that also includes the previously announced Rob Morgan. McKay will write and direct and co-produce along with Kevin Messick under McKay's Hyperobject Industries banner. The film follows two low-level astronomers who embark on a media tour to warn mankind of an approaching asteroid that will destroy Earth.
It's such a weird way of like how they phrase that whole article.
Very, yeah.
It's like Jennifer Lawrence is there, but it's like
but they're joining
they're all joining her.
Yeah.
But then they don't mention Cate Blanchett part of that heading,
yeah.
Which is one of the biggest actresses out there. And Jennifer Lawrence being another biggest actress.
Right.
And then it's like Leonardo is always going to be first because
oh, of course, it's Leonardo.
Neo.
Yeah.
And Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Instead of having the women first and then
right
the men.
But it's also such a rant, like Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry.
Yeah. He's gonna be the comedic.
Gonna be their friend.
There's no way. So like, if I know anything from like Adam McKay movies, there's no way that all these characters are gonna be in a scene together. It's gonna be very much like separated. Like, oh, here's this group of this characters, and then these characters are doing something.
Yeah.
And
no, they'll have such small roles.
Yeah, so it's a huge, ridiculously... I already see the trailer in this movie where it's just like... Just the names like the...
And like really fast cuts.
And then it will be like, these characters, funny scene. The next set. It's just going to keep going with like a crazy list of...
Yeah.
Of is name. This Step Brothers, the sequel that we've been...
you know what?
Then they go to
Step Brothers 2.
Electric Dead Boogaloo.
Brothers. Oh, that one, yeah.
They didn't mention Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Probably.
Well, I don't think they do their banner.
Gary Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez, yeah.
Well, they did it recently for something we saw.
Was it the, I think...
Sherlock show movie?
Oh, Holmes and Watson? I don't watch that.
Or was it Vice? Was that the last one they did together?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I remember we read on the show that they were separating.
They're cutting it.
They're cutting ties. It's going to be one Gary and one Sanchez. But yeah, I mean, like, again, I think Adam McKay is a talented director. His films haven't really excited me.
Yeah, Big Short, I didn't. Is it Big Short?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like Big Short. And Vice, I didn't like Vice.
I'm trying, what else is he?
So what am I left with here?
But he's produced a bunch of movies, obviously. Oh, yeah. He's produced a bunch of the like really funny comedies.
Yeah, his comedy is phenomenal. Yeah.
But as a director, I don't think like Big Short had moments of it where I'm like, I think this is trying too hard to be Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vice, I think, was just was not for me.
But I heard the Big Short was such a like an eye opener in terms of housing market and like what was happening.
I think like that was what the movie was about. But
it was cut, it was so like intricate and.
Well, yeah, like the story of the Big Short. Like, I liked the story that it was telling, but it wasn't a movie that lasted with me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I haven't seen it this way.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things. Like, they tried really hard to make like these bank, like definitions appealing. Where they're like, oh, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub talking about. What is like higher interest loans or whatever mean?
It was too frat house for me. I don't know if that's a good word to describe.
Sure.
It.
Too. Yeah. What's another word for frat? They are called.
Like, you're right. I know. Oh, I know.
Forgot it.
For like a fraternity?
No. They actually said it in the movie, the Chicago 7. They were referred to as something else. But yeah, I get it.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, no, I just found that I'm like, oh, this movie's trying like really hard to make these things like interesting and appealing, and
mm-hmm.
obviously like when the recession and everything in the States, like it was the housing market was a huge deal in the States. Obviously, like year two, but I think more to the extent in the States, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was a big moment, but I just feel like it just kept making me want to watch Wolf of Wall Street because literally there's a line in Wolf of Wall Street where Leo's like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Bottom line is we're getting rich. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like I think it was trying to evoke that kind of energy.
Yes.
And it just never got that for me. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm trying to think of that word now.
Vice was just a snooze fest.
Oh yeah, Vice I did not. Vice wasn't for me. And just the editing for it was, and it won, I think, best editing that year too, didn't it?
And I think we had a seizure watching it too.
Yeah, it was an interesting film, Vice, for sure.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. Stacked cast here though.
Stacked cast. I hope it's good. I hope, you know, his third serious film is, you know, hits it off because his comedies are some of the greatest of all time.
Is this a drama or a comedy? What do
it's
you
always,
think?
It's always he always is a dramedy in a way. Dramedy? You know, but more drama, less itty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. You pulled up a list of movies that he's made. Maybe you want to kind of read them off to the audience so they
know who he is. Adam McKay is the director of Anchorman.
He directed Anchorman?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he directed Anchorman. Damn. Yeah. Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
Ricky Bobby. Everyone remembers the Landlord short, you know, with...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Funny or Die
one? He's actually in that one, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Step Brothers, obviously, Anthony's favorite film of all time.
Yep.
We have The Other Guys. We have Anchorman 2. And then we go over to The Big Short, Vice, and now Don't Look.
I always forgot that he directed those. Because I always think of Judd Apatow. I was like, oh, no, he produced.
Yeah, Apatow was produced.
The producer, and then he was the director, yeah.
Reminds me of a Ron Howard, you know?
What?
A Ron Howard type of
The Ron director. Howard of comedy?
Because he starts off with comedies, and then he'll drive into, now he's more into the serious movies.
Yeah.
And his whole background is comedy.
Right.
Well, Ron Howard started serious and then moved to like comedies. And you guys are just staring at me.
You started seeming so unsure of your own.
You're not confident in
your own,
like,
analogy.
But like, he's just, you know, I feel like
we're not disagreeing with you yet.
He's going to go on to other things too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised he directed a superhero film in the next.
Adam McKay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either because he's supposed to direct Ant-Man.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Was that Edgar Wright?
But Adam McKay was also signed on to it, too.
But I think Adam McKay just wrote with Paul Rudd, though.
But I think what they were talking about, like, how...
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a rumor that
Yeah. It wasn't, like, anything, like, substantial. No, because
I don't think we weren't surprised
either.
No,
right?
Yeah. We were like, oh, is Adam McKay going to step in? And then Peyton Reed came
in. Yeah. So it wasn't surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That was that.
I wasn't confident in what I was saying.
You
weren't.
You started looking at us, and we're like, no, keep going.
I just felt like he's a Ron Howard type of guy. He also, like... Ron Howard started off on, what, the Andy Griffith Show or something like that?
Happy Days and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like comedic, like there's a comedy approach to him.
He directed Splash.
Yeah.
Splash, yeah. Is that the one with Daryl Hannah?
Yeah. Daryl Hannah's...
they had to like cover her butt?
Her butt was digitally...
They had to extend her hair.
Her hair, yeah. Oh, God. Disney Plus. But did you guys see this week that they...
Yes.
They added like a censor... Not a censorship, like a...
Like what Warner Brothers does on their Looney Tunes cartoons.
Right, they put like a text saying like, hey, like...
This is from a certain time period.
This is from a certain time, these depictions of these characters. This is not a reflection of the company, but again, like to change it, we want to start a conversation, blah, blah, blah. Great to have that.
I much prefer that.
100%. Don't edit. Don't do dumb censorship.
Did they keep the edit?
I don't know if they added Daryl Hannah's bum crack back.
I feel like they won't.
Yeah, because that's nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
And Mickey. No, he doesn't like nudity.
Mickey don't like no booty.
But
no?
Hugh Jackman still drops the F-bomb, though, in Days of Future Past. So
and Donald Duck still doesn't wear pants.
True.
It's true. You know?
And Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah.
Still looks great.
100%.
Anyways, let's jump into some trailers.
Trailers.
Oh, that's good stuff. So we only got two trailers this week. Both films, I'd say, are pretty much the exact same. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Both movies are, you swap them out.
You change the titles out, they'll be the same.
And movie. I wouldn't even know. Monster Hunter with Mila Jovovich.
Yep.
And this is based on the video game franchise. This looks really bad.
The CG doesn't look bad, though.
The CG doesn't look bad.
It just looks like she did was Resident Evil movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With her husband.
No.
Who directed them? No? Is it not her husband?
So. I don't know her husband, but I'm going to look into that. Yeah, looking at it, it reminds me...
I'm thinking of Underworld and Len Wiseman, that's why.
That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But I feel she's married to someone who's a director and directed a Resident Evil. But then I could be completely wrong. But getting back to the trailer, I thought this trailer was... it wasn't bad. I'm just... I don't know the story of Monster Hunter, it reminded me of Transformers meets Resident Evil for some reason. Like, just the aesthetic.
Because of the army feel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And in the desert, because in the first Transformers, they were in the desert fighting these machines.
Paul W.S. Anderson.
She's married to him?
Is married to...
No way!
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Her husband directs.
It's very similar to, like, Underworld, and Len Wiseman was married to Kate Beckinsale as well.
She literally married the worst movie...
Oh, my God!
Video game movie director ever.
No, that's Uwe Boll. Yeah, Uwe Boll for sure.
But like, look at his movies. There's not one good movie.
I don't mind Mortal Kombat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but like, we're going to his first film.
No, but it's funny though, like, because those, I feel like there were so many Underworld movies, there were so many Resident Evil movies. Like, these movies have an audience. They definitely have an audience where they make their money. This trailer for me, like, it looks like Monster Hunter.
Event Horizon. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, like it looks like Monster Hunter. It looks like the game. Like, I don't really play the games, but like,
does it look the game? I know the monsters look the game.
Yeah, the monsters
look characters do.
I don't really,
because I feel like the characters always look very like not like that.
No, they just look generic. Like, these characters look like generic,
like
army
soldiers. You know, yeah,
like Transformers 1, where it's like, here's these characters.
Now, I know Monster Hunter, one of the games, is going to be a part of the PS Plus collection for PS5.
Mm-hmm.
Will I play it?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Stay tuned for the details.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because he was talking about how, like, every studio in the world was trying to get the rights to Monster Hunter, but I already had them. I'm like, studios? Who was after these?
Uwe Boll?
Who were after the rights to this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
not a. I don't know. Here's my thing. If you're a fan of Monster Hunter and you watch this trailer, let us know.
Yeah,
let us know how you thought about it.
Yeah, did it get you excited?
Yeah, did it tickle your monster?
Will we even acknowledge a Monster Hunter fan? Who's going to?
Damn, oh, wow, no. That's so mean. Of course,
we're gatekeeping now. Yeah. We'll take everyone except for Monster Hunter fans.
We stay away from monsters.
You know what it is though? Like, I say the name. I'm like, is that the right Monster Hunter? It just sounds, it doesn't so generic, sound too.
Real. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Monster Hunter.
Like, it sounds like, you know, Monster House, like the animated film. Oh, like, God. You know, like, yeah. Oh, it could be that. But it, when you really see the name over and over again, you're like, oh, this sounds like a really shitty,
yeah,
like CG cartoon.
Yeah, like Monster film. Hunter. I'm like, what? Like, why does it sound weird? It sounds, yeah. I think we've said it too much now.
I think we've said it too much.
It's throwing me off.
I think we've said it more than the actual director has.
Oh, for sure.
The next trailer that we got was Hillbilly Elegy. And this is with Glenn Close and Amy Adams.
Now,
directed by Anthony's favorite.
Not my favorite. I don't know. I just said his name.
You seem to love him a lot.
Ronald.
I did like
Howard.
The solo film, so.
Yeah, you did.
And Rush.
And Rush.
Oh, yeah, and I love Rush. And also Apollo 13. And then Da Vinci Code. And
He's made good movies.
He's a good director, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good director. Beautiful Mind.
I was going to say, we have, can you guys think of the, six degrees of separation that we have to Glenn Close?
We know Kevin Lima.
That's exactly right. Okay,
that's it. Okay, that was like 1 degree almost. Yeah. You know, the famous Cruella. I think she did such a good job as
iconic. Yeah, iconic. Yeah. I always think of like the part of the. I don't know if it was for one or for two where she's just like woof woof woof. She goes last like crazy.
God, I wish I recorded that.
Yeah, Anthony and Shay's eyes just grew like the size of their head. Like, what does that
fear? I think that just occurred.
Oh, did that sound just come
Anthony
out
of was like, "Where's Ron Howard?
Take him away."
I want to talk about Ronnie Howard.
What's this movie about?
I don't know. I
feel like it's
mom.
Like, yeah, mom and grandma and dealing with drugs. Yeah.
I assume there's drugs.
I think it's the story of a son who's dealing with a mother who seems to be in and out of his life.
Yeah.
Because she's somewhat addicted to
drugs,
and the grandmother who has kind of taken over and become the mother figure for this boy, and he grows up and he's still dealing with the family drama.
Yeah,
but it takes place in some like a Rust Belt district in the United States, so very working class factory workers,
blue collar.
Very poor,
yeah,
just trying to live their life and get the most out of it. And, you know, Amy Adams looks
scary.
No, I don't want to say scary because people do look like that. So she just looks run down.
She definitely looks
tired.
Destroyed.
And, you know, just in Glenn Close, she looks run down and tired. It's that very
almost unrecognizable.
It's like a sequel to The Fighter if Amy Adams really didn't get her shit
together. They look like they're just trying to outdo one another to win an Oscar at this point. Because both of them, I mean, like Glenn Close is like 7 times no win.
Yeah.
Been nominated. Amy Adams has no luck, and you would think that she'd be like she would have had it by
now. I'm surprised. I thought she would have won by now.
So I feel like this will probably maybe it'll be maybe not. if history has anything to say about it.
I don't know. Like in terms of best actresses at the moment, her performance stands out just from the trailer because it looks like an Oscar bait type of performance, an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be like looking back at the movies I've recently watched. Who would kind of be in that list.
The Invisible Man, Elizabeth Moss. She did such a good job.
I don't think Elizabeth Moss is good. I think that movie's forgotten.
Yeah. I think it's far,
I think it'll be forgotten too for sure. Yeah. But I wish. That's
yes.
My wish.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Moss.
She scares me a little bit.
She's a Scientologist. And
that's true. We don't talk about them on here. Yeah.
Except for Tom Cruise.
Except for Tommy Cruise.
Yeah. I like Tom Cruise, but like,
I like Tom Cruise.
We know that.
But Tom Cruise also, like, he came back.
He came back, but we know like he really believes like some sort of alien is going to give him.
But is he still a Scientologist though?
I don't know.
I think he's more like on the hush hush about it now. He's like, shit, listen, I can't talk about it no more.
Yeah. Maybe he watched like one of those docs and what the fuck am I doing? or one of those Leia Remedy.
Yeah, or the new one that's out, The Vow, Nathan was talking to us on the show about.
Yeah,
yes. I have it in my watch. Cultish
type of mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary stuff though. Like it's scary when you see that and you're just like, damn, like it feels so far fetched.
Yeah, but
like
you see it and
I'm like, no, this is real. Like,
but then it's the United States. But you know what? Every country has some sort of cultish religion. You know?
Like
we were watching Under Control and I learned about the Korea's cultish type
cult
of
church
that
spread
the virus on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
But like I didn't expect that.
Right. But it's funny, though, like, we see it, as like, you know, we see it like, especially with that one, we're just like, oh yeah, look how like strange that is, and they're all like, kind of in sync and in motion and that. And it's, oh, it's just called like,
a Doomsday Christchurch. That's
right.
Yeah. That's the name of the church. Right?
That's the name of the church. Yeah.
What the hell?
But then
I'll join that church.
You kind of see it applied. Like maybe it's not as like apparent, and like because we're used to it in North America and stuff. But like you see it only afterwards. You're like, damn, like that's strange.
A little much. Yeah.
You see like a Trump rally, and you're just like, that looks a little.
Oh, it's definitely a cult.
You know, that's a little. That like it just makes you like enough. I'll be like, yeah, that's weird. Upsetting. You know, that's very upsetting. Yeah.
Is there any like actress you would put into the best other than Elizabeth Moss?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think.
Who was the one from Bad Boys for Life? The Carrie Ann Moss looking lady.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just kidding. No. I'm just saying, Bad Boys for Life is gonna sweep,
dude. What a great movie, though. Oh, yeah. That was such a fun movie. Film, though. I feel like that was the last time we were all in a theater.
Having fun.
And we were having fun. Because we saw it in Anthony's hometown.
We did. But that should have been the first sign of, like, you know.
Bad things are going to come.
Because
like, we had to line up for the movie, too.
Yeah, we had to watch the movie in Vaughn. It was cold, and Anthony was there. He was happy.
Yeah, because I lived, like, down the street. I didn't have to drive to.
No, but I'm trying to think, because after we saw Bad Boys, I feel like it was. We started hearing about COVID more.
We got in the car and it was like COVID-19 is starting. Yeah.
Wait, and then Eminem dropped an album.
Bad
things are going to happen.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
because there's too much good happening at the beginning of this year, and then it just started.
And then Onward, our last movie was Onward. Yeah.
Even Onward and Invisible Man, we were already feeling like a little uncomfortable in the theaters. Remember, like we were all like alcohol, like what is it called?
You gave me some hand sanitizer.
You were afraid of the cockroaches in the popcorn, remember?
Yeah, but that was like something that was happening though. In Cineplex.
That was happening.
You know, like that was a cockroach popcorn.
But we were already thinking already then. We were just like, we got to be careful. I think there is rumors of there being a case in the States.
Let alone.
Little do we know.
And then now we're in October.
Well, we'll talk more about the COVID when we talk about another film in our list here. But out this week, both films we watched, and one of them we'll be talking about in a bit here, Rebecca, coming to Netflix. This is coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah, this Wednesday.
And we have On the Rocks, which we have a review up for as well. Anthony, you finally watched it this week, so you'll give us your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And that's out this Friday as well on Apple TV Plus. So make sure to give them a watch if you're interested in them. What are you watching? Daniel, what do you watch this week?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. Let me.
Wow, Daniel has not watched anything this week.
No, I was going to say, it's been a busy week.
It was a short list. That's why I went first with them.
Yeah. Get him out of the way.
Yeah, just throw in the garbage.
This week, so I've been playing a lot of Ghost of Tsushima.
Perfect.
So I've been trying to finish up that trophy. Sorry, that platinum trophy. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to get it either today or tomorrow at some point.
Nice.
Just love that game.
It's really good.
And I'm trying to finish up. Because there's new games that I have that are out that I'm like, I kind of want to push these to play them on PS5. To like Crash Bandicoot, I was loving, but I'm like, these load times are a little long. Let me try and push this so I have more things to play in November.
Yeah.
And like December and stuff. So I like Tony Hawk and everything too, and FIFA. But yeah, Ghost of Tsushima, I'm like, I need to wrap this up. I want to get this all done so we can enjoy the multiplayer mode, which you and I played.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Oh,
really
thanks
fun.
For the invite.
We did invite you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but you said, I don't want to talk to you guys unless we're
recording. Play today?
I don't know. Do I? I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to be invited after I've not been invited.
No, but we already spoke about it. We're going to run this together, though, in our podcast group. Oh. You have to check the Discord. That's where we invited you. Yeah. That's why. Oh, okay. But no, it's like, again, what a great game. Like, I want to try and finish this. And I'm like debating. I'm like, man, like The Last of Us Part 2, I really want to go back to as well. But again, I think I'm going to wait for PS5 so I could just get the last of the trophies I have for that, too.
Will that be a remaster? Not a remaster, but will that be upgraded in a sense?
They haven't said anything. It's going to be playable, but they haven't announced any like boost mode or anything like that for it yet.
No.
Trial of the Chicago 7, which again, we have a review out now on the movie podcast feed. So just go through our feed. You'll see a review of it there. Great film. Totally Under Control. This movie infuriated me to my core. Alex Gibney's the director.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
You guys all watched it too.
Yeah.
And I think something we were talking about before we started recording is that this film, like, it's we haven't even reached the peak of what like this virus is going to be in. I think, and it's like
it hasn't even begun to peak.
and like and like seeing all of this information.
Oh, Dante's Peak. I forgot to put that movie on my list, but
you watched it?
Yes.
No.
You just triggered
something in his head.
Pierce Brosnan. He's gonna stop COVID.
Volcano.
Yeah, it's just very frustrating. It's a really well made documentary. I think what I love so much about this documentary too is that I just wrote like a little note on it so I would remember. The timeline is really easy to follow, yes, which I really loved about this movie. Like, showed how the virus started, how it moved kind of from country to country, which I really liked that it wasn't just kind of like an overview. It's like, let's give you a play-by-play
of what happened,
of the response from the U.S., from other countries in the world, how it was kind of moving here. Mm. And I also like that the documentary kind of was also about how the documentary itself was made.
Yes.
So you kind of see, like, look at the conditions they're making this documentary in, and these setups that they're doing to interview with these doctors, like
shipping these,
you know, materials, these kits, and like how they're doing it. So I really appreciated that. It just, I really think this is required watching. Mm-hmm. And I think that anybody who has, like, right now it's only on iTunes, it looks like.
I think so, yeah.
This is the kind of film that I wish would get picked up by a distributor, like, for, like, streaming, like, or, like, for it to go to
a streaming distributor, to,
like, Netflix or
if this was Amazon, on Netflix, this would be nuts.
You know, like, this would be, like, number one trending in the world.
Yeah.
On Netflix. I think this is a really important film to watch, and it just makes you, like, makes you upset, makes you angry. You're like, damn, like, we could have been in a such better spot.
Like, you look at it, and the whole film is purely about what happens if you leave politicians in charge of a virus versus if you leave scientists involved.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, South Korea shows that if you leave scientists involved and leading it, how things turn out. Pretty much also same thing with New Zealand as well.
You know? Oh, 100%.
And
she just got elected again.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah,
she did. That's awesome. Okay, so. I was trying to keep an eye on that. But here's my thing. If you're a fan of Trump, okay, and I'm trying to be as kind about this as possible. If you're a fan of Trump and, you know, he does no wrong in your eyes, still try to watch this and try to watch it with an open mind, because you can't deny the facts and the truth that are coming out of this. It's so plain and simple that it's there. And if it changes your mind or not, that's really going to be down to you. But my God, is it so obvious, the horrific decisions that were made going forward, the just lies, the, you know, how you're saying one thing but really you're doing another thing. It's alarming. And fuck Trump. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well said.
Vote Trump. No, it's just
God.
My take, it, like, if you're watching this, there is no political message with this doc. Like, this doc is just spewing out facts.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just like, this is what happened.
Yes. They are literally telling you what has happened from the eyes of experts that were in this pandemic, that are still in this pandemic, who have been affected by decisions from the government. Mm-hmm. And this is really focusing on the United States, and, and some of it is in South Korea. It is such a well-edited piece of information, because it brings you into the idea of what was happening before January. What were the steps taken? How, you know, people were telling the leaders of these the leader of this country to prepare, get masks ready. We have the, you know, we have the ability to do this before it spans out. And, you know, a leader who's saying, no, it's going to go away in the summer, and don't worry, it's going to magically disappear.
Who still says that, by the way?
Who still says it? Who still, I don't know, don't you not want to protect your people? Like, don't you want to make sure that as a leader that your people are not dying, other than just not caring and not, like, giving a fuck about what's happening?
It's really weird. It's alarming, actually.
Yeah. And they have, like, some of these experts, like, they even have the South Korean doctor who was the first person to test the first patient, and he documented it and recorded it on video of the trial and how he kind of prepared, and because it was the first case of it in South Korea, he wanted to make sure that he was capturing everything that could be captured for scientific purposes and making sure that this person, you know, at the end of it succeeds and lives. And they do. And he said, like, it was so sad because watching the United States and how their approach to it was so, like, their appearance did not, how we looked at them was not expected on how they acted.
Right.
Because we had, like, some sort of high hopes for them. They created the mask, the N...
N95
masks. They should have these masks ready for their people. And it was just so sad. And the perception of how the rest of the world looks at the United States has changed forever.
Oh, dramatically.
Forever.
We think of the States, and I think even just growing up, like, living in North America, we're lucky. Mm-hmm. But we always kind of, we grew up, I think, with that mentality of, like, oh, those things only happen outside of our country. That stuff doesn't happen here.
Wow.
And then you see it, how COVID was handled here, and you're like, damn, there's, like, we handled this bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're living through this now. We're living with these mistakes that, like, governments have made here. And again, like, Canada's not perfect, but I'm saying, like, if we're 100%. Looking, there's more of a focus, obviously, in the States for this.
Mm-hmm.
200,000, over 200,000 people dead in the States.
Yeah.
It's like, You're just seeing that, and you're like, how do you look at that and be like, yeah, our president's doing a good job?
No.
Like, how do you be like, but I'm still voting for him, though.
Yeah.
You know, of all the other shit things that he is
and
does, the racist, the bigotry, the misogynist, all of that stuff. But then you have just a clear fact where it's like,
it's black or white.
It's literally black and white. It's like, here's a fact. Yeah, but that fact is your opinion, man, or... Nah, I'm still voting for him, though.
Yeah.
Because he's what this country needs. I'm like, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't know. Like, at that point, you can't argue with a person like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's my thing here. Like, if you're... There might be some people out there who, you know, the needle is pushed for them where they're like, okay, you know what? You're right. Trump isn't great. This movie, again, it's not trying to go after Trump. But when something is so obvious, when it's right there in your face, how can you not call it out?
Right. Yeah.
It's a watch it for me.
Yeah, it's a
definitely required watch it.
Yeah.
It's a required watch it.
Again, have that open mind. Be prepared to really have active listening and listen to these people who are talking because they have a message to say.
Yeah. And then also shout out to Elevation Pictures for
sending it to us
to watch because, yeah, this is one that I remember when Shay, you brought it up like a week or two ago. You're like, hey, like, this is one I really want to watch, and like I didn't know it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking, I'm like, oh wow, this whole thing was made during COVID. Like, it's really well done.
Very good.
Last thing I watched this week, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. So this is a Netflix original film directed by Ben Wheatley. Ben Wheatley, who you'll know, he also directed the film Free Fire, which you saw a couple years ago.
Which
I liked Free Fire.
Yeah.
I think it was okay.
Too bad, yeah.
So Rebecca, based off a novel, also based on the same novel that Hitchcock did his Rebecca film off of. Basically, this movie stars Lily James and Armie Hammer, and Lily James is like this...
She's a lady's companion.
Lady's companion is the word they use. Yeah. Yes. And then she basically meets Armie Hammer, who is this well-off...
Super rich
person at this resort. And then they basically fall in love with each other. And the first half of this movie, really beautifully shot. It's Monte Carlo. Like, it's like a dream world. It's like, it just looks gorgeous. They're kind of falling in love with one another. But throughout this movie, I was just like, where is this movie going? Yeah. Like, I was always kind of on that path. I'm like... I'm enjoying this, but I'm also just curious, like, what obstacles are going to arise right now? So, but you really start to see these obstacles arise where when she moves into his house, and there's like, a leader of the house there who is
Kristen Scott Thomas,
who's in charge of how the house runs and everything like that. And you start to wonder, are things not as
something's
they seem here?
Something's afoot.
You see these birds flying in a crazy way because it's very Hitchcockian. Like, it literally feels like, oh, there's something more to this house, or there's something more to this. There's a deep, dark secret.
You keep thinking,
here.
Oh my God, is there like a ghost or a body somewhere?
Or even just this housekeeper, there's something going on with them. Like, you just were waiting for like the story to unravel and to get to the end and find out. And then you kind of, again, no spoilers, obviously, because it is, I still had some, like, enjoyment in this film. I was just wish that there was more to it.
Mm.
You know, like, I liked Armie Hammer a lot. I think I wish he was in it more.
Yeah.
Lily James was good, too. I just wanted, and again, what's her name again?
Chris Scott Thomas.
Yeah, she's great in it, too. Yeah. But again, I just felt like I wanted more out of this film.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for, like, more. Again, I don't know how true it was to the novel,
right?
But I like it was in something that, or how many liberties were taken. I just wish that there was a little bit more to kind of really get me involved in this film. Because I think towards the end, I'm like, okay, then this happened and this happened. And you're kind of figuring out this mystery ish, but I kind of at the end, I was like, okay, that was interesting. That was okay.
Yeah, for me, it was like I loved this first half of the film. I thought I was so gripped because I was like, okay, something's about to happen. Yeah. I can tell.
You're waiting for this all to go to hell.
Yeah, because it seems too perfect in a way. And I kind of liked the setting that they were into, the Monte Carlo, like the late 30s, early 40s kind of look. It was very interesting.
He's very like a Gatsby-esque.
Very, feeling, right? And yeah. I love Armie Hammer too. He's just very charming.
Yeah.
When we finally get to the house and things start to seem a little mysterious, you know, he starts sleepwalking and I'm like, oh, this is crazy when he starts sleepwalking.
Yeah. And there's
like,
only one scene.
Something, yeah, like that's it, one scene. And then, you know, she's having these dreams and then she's scratching herself at night and I'm like, oh my God, this is setting up to be like some crazy mystery thriller. And then when we find out what's really happening, you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that was it. Like, yeah. I felt so deflated.
Yeah, you're like it felt like it was really kind of gearing up for like some big reveal or some big thing. And you're just like, oh, okay, that's sure, that's believable.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like, okay, like I just wanted some more to really kind of be like, yeah, this is a great movie to watch at Halloween. Like, I get why they're releasing it now.
Yeah,
but like, it's also just like, yeah, like I wish that there was more to chew on. It definitely felt like. This was a novel. Just kind of, yeah. Just the feeling of everything of how these characters were written and
paced
it looked
so much.
It a just, novel. Like you could have literally made this like a mini series and it would have felt probably similar. Cause I think the pacing felt long too. Yeah. I mean, it's 2 hours, but it feels a bit longer. Yeah. Honestly, for me, I would say like, if you're okay with something that's a bit of a slow burn, it definitely has some eeriness to it, but it's, what'd you call this? Like a psychological drama? Like,
yeah, if that.
Yeah.
If that, yeah.
Then I would say, like, for me, like, I would say maybe stream it if that interests you, but it's not one that I've really thought about today anymore. So,
yeah.
Take that as you will.
Yeah. For me, I'd say skip it. I just think, like, if you really do want to watch it, you probably already have a Netflix subscription.
Yeah. But
there's already so much on Netflix that you can probably watch instead.
There's Hubie Halloween on there.
There's Hubie, which I watched about 10 minutes of it. It was awful. There's just so much there that you might find enjoyment in something else. I think that with this film, you're not going to leave with anything new or fresh. And you're just kind of be like, oh, I watched it.
That was all I watched this week.
That was all you watched. Okay. Anthony, what about you?
I didn't watch it.
That's okay. Now you know.
But now I won't watch. No, I will watch it. This week, I watched The Trial of the Chicago 7. I started Top Gear. So I was watching the Grand Tour. So I went back all the way to 2002.
And I know, started watching those clips.
Top Gear.
4x3. Like.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy to think what, you know, when you watch old, especially this is a show about cars, like what they thought cars were and then what cars are now, and it's crazy. Like
that was the wild part.
They were just talking about automatic gearboxes in fast performance cars, like in Ferraris, which were always standard. So then they moved to the automatic flappy paddle gearbox.
The pedals,
So it's just that's how it looked like in 2002. So I'm kind of moving my way up and maybe I'll finish
seeing
it.
Seeing technology
evolve. And cars and just how people
guys, there's like, these things called
thought of cars and where they expected cars. They were talking about keyless entry, right?
Oh, wow.
But
crazy.
It's still if you're really into Top Gear and the Grand Tour and just Jeremy Clarkson and Hammond, you can see like how their characters evolved from what they look like in the past to what they look like now, just if you're a fan of that whole series.
Where are you watching it?
I want to see a Russian site. Or some like Ukrainian site.
It's called virus.com.
I haven't got a virus yet. It has AirPlay.
My family's computers are all on fire.
Andy was just like, I was looking at purchasing.
It was called
iHeartPutin.ca.
My friend Bobby White Club's gave me the link.
there's no platform that's streaming it.
Right.
Unless you're in the States, you have like an option through Amazon Prime, through a, like a subscription channel of sorts.
Right.
So yeah, I found it on some sort of... It looks Russian. It could also be Ukrainian or something. It's, you
something
know,
Eastern European.
Eastern European, sure. I don't have viruses yet. We'll see.
Knock on wood.
I'm not indoctrinated into the Russian KGB.
Oh, you did ask a lot of Putin questions today.
I know.
Did I?
Yeah. What do you guys think about Putin on the brain today?
I'm continuing watching Lovecraft Country.
Did it finish this?
I don't think so.
Okay, never.
Because that last episode didn't feel like it was the last episode of the season. It's on episode 9, so I think when this show comes out, it'll be episode 10. Enjoying it. This episode wasn't as good as the others, but I'm really enjoying the whole story of magic and, you know, the characters that are involved with it. I highly recommend you guys watch it. If you have a chance to watch it. Sorry with the loudest voice because Shay was talking about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I haven't finished it, but I think I'm on the year before, like Trump is getting elected.
Oh, okay. 2015?
2015.
You're pretty into it then.
Russell Crowe does such an amazing job.
Great.
As playing
Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes. And just what a creepy dude. And what a
piece of shit.
Like how he manipulated the whole like right wing conservative.
Yeah.
Let's make up news because we can do that because we're a news source and just not, that's not right. Like it's just so wrong. And even, what's it? The owner of Fox at the
Murdoch.
And he just news going board. Along with it and just, I don't know.
Money, man. Money.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, let's find that niche. And there is a niche for conservatives. Let's make a news channel for just them.
Yeah.
But to the point where it was just lies.
Yeah.
And then also the harassment.
Oh, yeah.
That is a huge, that's the biggest part of this.
Yep.
This series.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Russell Crowe. Like, so I literally started watching the show last year, literally the day after he won a Golden Globe.
Was it for the show?
It was for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was, it was a Golden Globe or was it an Emmy?
I think it was a Golden Globe.
It was a Golden Globe.
I don't know if he was nominated for an Emmy because of the...
Oh, because of the timeline of it?
Timeline of it.
So he won a Golden Globe for it last year. And I'm like, what is this show?
Yeah.
So I looked at it. I literally started watching it the next day and I finished it all in that day. Because his performance, there's like this... unpredictability to mm-hmm. him too.
It's scary
that he's genuinely like scary to watch because you don't know how he's going to react sometimes, and you're always just like, you're always on your toes. And if that's anything like with the real Roger Ailes, it's like that's a horrific workplace to be in.
Yeah,
you know. And again, John Lithgow played him in Bombshell. Did not feel that at all.
No.
I haven't watched Bombshell, but I saw it.
Like, Russell Crowe was genuinely scary in loudest voice.
He does a great job. Yeah. So I watched that. I haven't finished, but I will.
You're pretty much at the end, though.
Am I?
Yeah.
I put on a movie that was sent to us called Body and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian flick, which is great. It's directed by Melaine Otis.
Mm.
And I'll kind of give you a synopsis of the story because it's not like it's not a movie that you can just find. You have to go on to iTunes or on Cineplex to find out and watch it. But it's a story of an emotional coming-of-age journey that follows Tess, a young woman stuck in her small town in the care of her mother's boyfriend after her mother's passing. Withdrawn from her life, the one thing that confronts Tess is the music of Danny Sharp, a local musician who left town 20 years ago. When she wakes one day to find him in her kitchen, it ignites a spark of life in her that quickly spirals out of control. So... very like this movie when I watched it, it seemed like something I would have watched at TIFF if TIFF was still
like if it had all the films,
if it had all the films and it was, you know, part of the Canadian content. Not for me, and then I'm not saying it's a bad film, it's just something that I don't think I would have found myself watching. It is a story like, if you if you are in a situation where you are in a small town and you feel like there's nothing happening for you, it's like that idea. It's like, there's nothing for me here. I want to get out. Yeah. I want to get out of this place. But it becomes almost like an obsessive nature for Tess in this case, because she grabs on to the one person who left this town and made a life, but realizes maybe this wasn't the life that I expected to be when I left the...
Good performances, though?
Good performances. It takes place in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
So I always look at Newfoundland being... That's still a small town, no matter if you leave it or not. Yeah. The city's small. But yeah, good performances. I would... Even though it wasn't for me, I wouldn't say don't watch it. I say still watch it. I think the visuals for this movie are fantastic. It's one of those movies where there's not a lot of dialogue.
It's short too, I think.
It's short. It's like an hour and
like 97 minutes, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, I read it. That's why.
So is that 2 hours?
It was just like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I said an hour and you like 97 minutes, I'm like, there's no such thing as 97 minutes in it. why are you guys laughing?
I'm just laughing because like I was just looking at the synopsis of this film and I hit images on Google and literally it's just so stupid. Literally, because it's called Body and Bones, right?
Body and Bones,
and literally, the only thing that I get on Google Images is just pictures of skeletons.
Oh. Well, it's not about that. There's no skeletons in this movie.
It just threw me off. I'm like, oh, let me just...
like educational skeletons, too.
Yeah, I was just trying to see like the poster for the film. It just threw me off.
But yeah, like great performances. Again, it's not a... You know, you're not going to get like this long script. A lot of the visuals and how they use their visuals for to tell the story... very Canadian too, which I appreciate because I haven't seen, like, I don't watch Canadian content.
Right.
Because weirdly enough, it's, we live in Canada, but a lot of the Canadian content,
the access is a lot harder.
Yeah. Because we don't really see it advertised as much. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, I don't really see a lot of Canadian films until sometimes they're on like Crave. And I'll just be flipping through the channels. I'm like, oh, what's this film? I'll look it up. I'm like, oh, this is a Canadian film.
But see, that's the thing.
On at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't give it a chance because it's a Canadian film. So I think, like, you know, there are a lot of small towns in our area. And there are a lot of people who deal with the depression of trying to get out and what's left or what can I do outside of this place and being stuck in a situation where they can't get out. Yeah. And then, you know, this is what that story kind of leads to. But it also has more to it because it kind of grounds you as a person. Sure. And just to realize what she has gone through and what she'll be going through in this movie is really, really shows a strength to her character.
Sure. Well said.
I watched On the Rocks, directed by Sofia Coppola, starring Bill Murray, Rashida Jones, and Marlon Wayans. Mm. That's the correct Wayans, that brother. Really enjoyed it.
Which Wayans?
That's the right Wayans.
That's a new game show we're going to start. Which Wayans was it?
Really enjoyed it. I thought the script was great. It seems so such a simple story. It's a simple story. It's a father and daughter story, and it's a daughter who's, you know, dealing with the idea that maybe her husband might be cheating or might, you know? And like, it's just, it creates this anxiety, and she's a writer and she's hit a roadblock in her writing and a lot of things are not happening. Very similar to, you know, Body and Bones, where it's like, well, where can I go? And then, you know, you start to obsess with things and, you know, Bill Murray's character and being her father is just like the instigator of let's go follow him.
Where's he? Okay, I'm gonna write them.
You don't know much about men because really men need to conquer and procreate as much as possible.
Seriously,
because that was her father's
his ideals.
Yes. So I thought the chemistry between Rashida and Bill Murray was fantastic.
Yeah. Very believable father-daughter dynamic.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if how much of it was pulled from Sophia's real life relationship with Francis. If you love New York, you will love this film because it shows off New York so well.
Oh,
no. But shot so well.
I was telling Shay, like, there's something about New York filmmakers. They know how to shoot their city. They know how to show off New York City.
Yeah. You know? And it's, you can tell, like, just the way it's presented.
Yeah. It's not just like the glamour shots of like like, oh, here's the freedom, is the Freedom Tower?
Yeah.
The Freedom Tower, or like, or here's like the Empire State. It's not like those, like,
no, you don't even see those.
Yeah, it's not like the stock videos like you see like between friends and stuff like
this
that.
This is like, it's like shot in Soho or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You see like,
and you can tell like the characters, they're the way they dress and how they are presented and how they go to these parties at night, and they have the babysitter side, who's always available. Yeah. Like, Upper East Side, Chanel bag, Gucci bag, but like still down to earth.
Yes. Right.
It's that type of idea. And I feel like that.
What it's believable. It's
very believable. Sophia pulls that, I guess, from her life into this story. And I think this movie will probably be nominated for original screenplay because it's so well written.
Yeah.
And the shot composition and just the art direction for some of these shots were so fantastic. There's a scene where Rashida goes to Mexico. She's sitting on this bed, and this bed is like just very orange and walls pink, and she's just sitting there and this shadow across her face. It's actually really, really well shot as well.
I can see Bill Murray maybe getting a nod. Supporting actor.
Yeah, and there is a lot of like dialogue and a lot of, especially if you have relationships like this or a strain, not a strain, because I don't think it's a strain relationship, but the idea
is this
of
a weird relationship with her dad, right?
Just family dynamics and how what's happened in that family.
Right.
There are great conversations about being a husband, being someone who you look up to as well as a child, like as a daughter, because you look up to your parents at points because you want to be very similar to them, and then how their perception can harm and your thinking of what your relationship looks like.
Right.
So there are great conversations about monogamy, and there's great conversations about just being stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
And it's a really well written movie.
Yeah, I really dug it.
I really dug it.
You can check out our full review too on, of course, on the Movie Podcast feed if you want to hear what Shay and I had to say about it too.
But what would you give it though?
I'll watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Definitely.
Well, if you have Apple TV Plus, you've already paid for the movie.
It's true.
Also, if you have Apple TV Plus, it's also been extended. We didn't talk about it. It's been extended until the end of January.
Nice.
So Apple has extended that. So for people who bought, their phones last year, you're now getting an extra 3 months out of Apple TV Plus. So hopefully we'll have some great content to watch in that time.
Yeah. Question, if you buy an iPhone today and you already bought an iPhone last year, do you still get the 1 year free again?
I think it's once on your account.
Unless you change your Apple ID.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm still watching The Good Lord Bird, which I found out is actually created by Ethan Hawke, and I told you guys about it. It's about an abolitionist.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Jim Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And how he, you know, conquered, and his story, and it's told in the eyes of a slave named Onion, and how he kind of dresses up as a woman dresses up as a woman just to like flee and free himself from being part of slavery and all that. Watch Totally Under Control, watch The Boys season finale, thought it was really good. I'm interested to see where season 3 leads us.
I just want it.
I was calling for it. Stormfront. Yeah, Stormfront.
Nazi.
Stormfront.
I love how, like, I don't want to spoil it. We should do a spoiler cast for it one day.
We should.
But yeah, Stormfront got what she deserved.
What did you guys think of this whole season then?
I loved it. It was better than last season.
Yeah, I think last season was like kind of the tee up. Like the first season was very much like, this ain't your daddy's superhero movie.
Right.
You know, like this is like, we're literally going to take what you know about superheroes. We're going to turn them on their head. We're going to show you, we're going to kind of put a mirror up to how they would look in a real world scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season, it's like, we got you in with all the craziness.
Yeah.
But now let's start dropping some like harsh realities. And it's like, we get the white supremacy. We get like the police brutality. We get like a lot of that kind of stuff intertwined into these storylines where it's not vague. It's not like they're trying to hide these parallels to our real world, but they're very much just like, this world is fucked up, but we're only making fun of the real world that we're living in.
Exactly.
Right. By masking it over certain things.
With superheroes and all that. Great season. I just wanted more. Like, I think I think we could have gotten a little bit more with Stormfront this year.
One or two more episodes.
One or two.
That was my complaint. You know? Like, 8 episodes is not enough for a TV series like that.
I think I don't know.
What was the last 8 episode TV series that I watched? It's usually 10. Like, I'm so used to 10.
Yes. Yeah.
Or 9.
Yeah.
I felt like there could have been
Been like maybe an episode maybe just dedicated to like, when I think of like Watchmen, I think Watchmen was 9 episodes.
But see, Watchmen's like there is no continuation to the Watchmen.
Right. No, but with Watchmen, I mean like in the sense like they still had episodes where like, oh, this episode is all about this character. Right. I think we could have had one of those, or even I think of like Mythic Quest, where it's like, here's this episode where it's like almost like not an Elseworlds, but like, here's this establishing idea or person in this world. We're gonna do. I would have loved just an episode on Stormfront.
Yes,
for her whole kind of
whole
like
Lady Liberty
coming into power, like, and seeing that. Unless they're saving that for maybe the future, I would just would have loved a dedicated. Let's do an episode that's not tied to anything right now. I almost ripped the wire out of my microphone.
Oh my god!
And kind of focus on that.
Yeah, that would be one thing. Like, even though you knew she was a Nazi, she never presented herself as like as a Nazi. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never
saw nonchalantly too.
You know, she's like a Nazi.
You know she's a Nazi.
Am I saying that right?
But like, you never seen that dark part of her, other than the scene with the brother.
Yeah.
And then the other brother, because there was two scenes: one when she was Lady Liberty, and the brother, and then when she was Stormfront with I forgot the character's name, the Vietnamese character,
yeah.
But like, you don't see how dark she
Kimiko,
yeah,
and you just didn't understand like why.
What is it? And again, like, if you know the comics, I guess you'll know that she was a white supremacist Nazi, but like you wanted to like I think this is me just wanting more. Yeah. This is not me taking anything away from this.
I also wanted more Homelander in the sense of how he grew up.
Yeah, maybe we'll see it too. Yeah. You know, but like, because we know we're getting a prequel series.
Yes, there is.
But the prequel series is that's kind of like an X-Men type movie, right? It's like in a school or something with that they're saying.
I think we also spent maybe a bit too much time on the church with the Deep.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think that really amounted.
It didn't pay off.
I get they had to establish them, maybe.
Yeah.
But it just felt like, hey, we're spending a lot of time with this, and then we're not really going anywhere.
Those are always the parts for me that were kind of the driest, because I kept wondering what was going to happen. And then, you know, when A-Train kind of got in and then got out, like, I was like, okay, like, where is this really going?
Yeah.
I thought the surprise character reveal at the end was very... Yeah, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering where does it lead to?
Right.
Does it lead to, is this person bad? Is this person good? Is this person only doing it for, you know,
political reasons
or does this person want to make changes?
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I thought their reveal.
But yeah,
their reveal was great.
It's just, this show is one of those shows that, like, because I knew it came out early on Thursday nights, is like 9 o'clock or 8:30, whenever it dropped, like, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
It was only the season finale that I watched on the Friday itself that I'm like, damn, like, I want this to end. And I know you were holding off watching it because you didn't want it to end either.
Yeah.
Are
they filming?
They start filming in February, I believe they said. So we'll probably get it again in August. September.
Yeah.
You know?
And the last thing I watched a lot this week, the last thing I watched actually was the first thing I watched in the week, Dante's Peak, starring Linda Hamilton and Pierce Brosnan.
What made you want to watch that?
I just saw it and I remember watching it as a kid and I'm like, man, it was a great movie as a kid. And I still think it's still a great movie as an adult. Like, it's nothing that's going to change you know, cinema, but this volcano that's erupting, and it was during that time period of Independence Day and natural disasters, Twister.
I watched it in my...
The volcano was out of that time too, I think, right? They went up against each other.
Was it?
Was it Dante's? Because there was Dante's Peak, and there was another film as well.
Or was it... Are you thinking of Deep Impact and...
No, but there also was with Dante's Peak as well.
Another volcano movie?
There was Volcano.
Dante's Peak, and last time I watched it was like in my grade 11 philosophy class.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was philosophical about it?
I think we were just It was Volcano.
See, I didn't like Volcano as much as Dante's
Peak. Who was in Volcano again?
Tommy Lee Jones.
And
the thing is, I watched Volcano first, so I loved it because it was so stupid. It was about a volcano in LA.
Yeah.
Such a dumb movie, but it was so good because Tommy Lee Jones was just wicked. And then I watched Dante's Peak, so I was more of the Volcano guy. But really, they're both really dumb but really fun.
Yeah. And there was scenes in Dante's Peak that I totally forgot. Forgot about the grandmother who to save her grandkids goes into the water, which is all like acidic level to the extreme, and she's like burning. I watched this as a kid, man. And this was part of the, like,
because they're both from 97. Yeah.
That was, and then what? Deep Impact and what?
Armageddon.
And Armageddon was what, 90.
Nine
or 98?
98. Yeah.
CGI still held up, too. And they use practical effects, like the small town just being torn apart by, you know, earth, volcanic ash, and as well as, like, volcano.
Yeah. They really burned people. That was your real grandma getting burned in that.
Yeah, they really
that burned. Acid pool.
I would
they
never go.
A lot of grandmothers in this film.
Did they?
I'm just kidding. They won a Guinness World Record.
I remember watching this and thinking, I will never go into a hot spring because the hot springs in this movie would kill you boil you alive. And
I was definitely more afraid of volcanoes in 97, and really,
oh, for sure,
I've never seen one yet.
And I thought Dante's Peak was real. I thought this was a real volcano. Then I realized it wasn't real.
Yeah.
There's a real volcano, I think Mount St. Helen is a real volcano, I believe.
Volcanoes. We believe in volcanoes.
We believe in volcanoes.
No, I mean, like, we believe volcanoes are a thing.
Yeah. I'm not denying the existence.
We're not volcanoes.
Like, volcanoes kill a lot of people.
Do they?
Yeah, apparently they do.
I don't know.
What's the statistics on that?
I don't know. But I like when I talk, I say things, but I don't know if they're true.
Yeah, because you were talking about Ron Howard a little while ago, and you didn't know where you were going with that one either.
Volcanoes.
I am curious how many people are killed by volcanoes a year.
I feel like a lot because he made two movies.
That's it.
And two Pompeii. Movies. Pompeii was just a volcano.
That's more about your people, though.
That was my people. Even my people dying, they created like an art piece. You know. You know what I'm saying?
Italians for you, you know.
Like regular volcanoes, they just decimate the land, but like in Italy, they preserve
there was,
it.
I know there was one in the Philippines last year. I think
was it big?
It was big, yeah.
Did it kill people?
I don't know about that, but I'm sure it must
have. There was one in New Zealand last year that killed 19 people.
Yeah.
Volcanoes are scary.
The volcanoes are scary, but like, there is a... You're laughing.
He is laughing.
It's so out of there. Like, you don't think of volcanoes being the one that's going to kill you.
No, but we think... I don't think anybody does.
Well, if you live next to one, you think it's going to happen.
I live next to a volcano, there's a good chance I
might be killed by this.
I mean, I think of volcanoes the same way I think of the Bermuda Triangle. I'm like, I don't think it's that way. No, but like, I'm not going to be... Like, where am I going to be near a volcano right now?
Well, the thing is, I have...
Like, I'm not near, like, an ocean where the Bermuda Triangle is either.
I guess, like, when I was in the Philippines, I did think, I was like, oh, I'm near a place near a volcano.
Right.
That was my, like, 6 degrees of separation there. But yeah, you know, like, I guess for me, volcanoes and, like, asteroids coming to the Earth are, like, in the same...
Oh, really?
Yeah. But see, volcanoes are slower. Like, you can outrun a volcano.
Yeah. Asteroid is, like, unless... if an asteroid hits the Earth, we're done.
But also, like, we've been luckily avoiding a lot of them, you know? These asteroids, they just keep coming at us, and we're just like, nah.
I love the tangents that we've been on today.
Yeah.
We've had some really good tangents
today. That's what happens when I host the Moon Podcast.
We've had some good tangents today.
Let us know who your favorite host is. No, I'm just kidding.
Let us know who your favorite tangent is.
That's what I've been watching. Okay. What about you, Shay?
Me, you know, good old me. I didn't think I'd actually finish my Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, you did finish it.
But I ended up dead because I was kind of in the mood for something familiar. And I was like, oh, well, I might as well put on Return of the King. Let's see how far I can get. Then I finished it. So that was great.
Bum, 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 bum.
That was, that's the score from the film. You're absolutely right. We watched Trial of Chicago 7. After Trial of Chicago 7, I told Daniel, I'm like, hey, I've never really watched A Few Good Men. And it's Aaron Sorkin. And you were like, dude, you got to watch it, man. I watch that movie every year, nonstop. I'm always watching A Few Good Men.
And I always
going
like, I'm Sylvester Stallone.
Hey, so don't worry about it. And I was like, all right, Daniel, if you stop talking to me,
you can't handle the truth.
I'm like, if you stop talking to me about it, I'll watch it. And I owned it on iTunes, so I put it on. I watched it. I really, really enjoyed it. Thought it was wicked.
Great movie.
Then I was in the Muslim Light, just something, you know, I was, you know, I wanted to watch something that is fun. And one of my favorite films is Crazy Stupid Love. I think it's such a good movie. I absolutely love Ryan Gosling. You know, he's so charming and Canadian and hot. He's a hot guy.
It's a trifecta.
Yeah. So I love that film. I love Steve Carell in it. I love Emma Stone in it. Julianne Moore. Everyone in that movie.
Kevin Bacon.
Every movie is so good. And there's like twists.
Marissa Tomei.
There's twists in the film too that you don't really see coming.
Oh, yeah. Really fun film.
It's just such a good movie. I think. Yeah. Have you seen it, Anthony?
Yes, I have.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I really do. Good. I wouldn't watch it like again, like you guys.
Okay.
In that sense where I would put
it on. I would never recommend it to somebody.
I would say skip it.
I would watch it if it was on TV. I wouldn't put it on.
It's one of those movies that I feel like is always on TV as well. Like not, I don't watch TV too much, but when I do,
yeah,
it's like, oh, Crazy Stupid Love is on.
Yeah, it's always usually on, but like I like putting on too when I just want to have something in the background, something light. But it's one of those movies that I put on to have in the background, and then I just end up watching it because I'm having so much fun. It's really watching fun. Rebecca, we talked about, and Totally Under Control. So that was what I watched.
It's been a week.
It's been quite a week.
Yeah.
But just like The Return of the King, we have The Return of the Trivia.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good one because I was like, oh, where is he going?
I'm going to say all things come to an end. What's going to happen right now?
Say it, Shay.
We're going to sail off in the sunset or something?
So we didn't really have much of a theme this week, but at least one of the biggest news stories this week was the Adam McKay star-studded film.
Yes.
Right? So where do you think I'm going with this? I'm curious. You guys are always trying to think of an answer in your head.
No, because originally we were talking about like, hey, it's episode 80. We'll do something 80 inspired. It'll come. Don't worry. But 80 episodes. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Congratulations to us. No one thought we'd get past 8.
We outsmoked quite a bit 80. Of other podcasts that haven't hit the 80 mark yet. It's so true. That's good.
Yeah.
Some podcasts don't even hit 79.
Or 78. You know, but we hit 80. Yeah. So we're doing good.
So my question is about a little unknown actress named Meryl Streep.
Oh.
And
is this alphabetical choice?
Yes.
Alphabetical choice.
It's not alphabetical choice, actually. If you guys want to give me the answer, if you guys have trouble with it, then I'll give you alphabetical choice, okay? Daniel already is, for some reason, in the zone thinking of an
Jedi
answer.
Jedi mind tricks.
He's going through her Wikipedia now.
I pulled up her IMDb in my brain, and I was like, okay, let's go.
How many times has Meryl Streep been nominated for an Academy Award? And bonus points if you can tell me how many times she's won.
Oh.
I'll do Price is Right rules as well.
Price is Right, eh?
I'll do Price. Don't give me the one, though. Don't give me like $1. Because then I'll be like, okay. No.
I want to say, I don't know. Daniel, do you want me to go first?
You can go first. That's okay.
And this is a pure guessing because she's been nominated so many times.
Yeah.
And won so many times. I want to say she's been nominated 16 times.
Okay.
And has won 4.
Okay, cool. Very good. Daniel.
I was going to say she's nominated 10 times.
Okay.
And she's won 3.
Okay. Very interesting because you got the closest to nominations. She's been nominated 21 times.
Jesus.
Okay. But she's won 3.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'll give a point to both of you then.
Point each?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not right. Communism, so yeah.
It is not
communism. We're democracy.
You keep talking about Putin today a lot, eh?
Yeah.
After your Russian virus website.
Russians, they are not communists anymore.
Oh, not after you came in. But yeah, so you know, I've given you guys your points there. Good job to both of you. 21 nominations, that's insane. She's won 3 times, so
that's nuts. Like, yeah. I was thinking, I'm like, I thought, like, when Anthony said 16, I'm like, dude,
like take it easy,
you're
relax,
yeah, man. you're fucking up there, Meryl, eh?
But like 21 times, my god. And she's only won three.
Yeah, what an idiot.
What a loser.
I'm curious how much Daniel Day-Lewis nominated and won as well. I don't think as much as...
But hasn't he won every time he's been nominated too?
I don't think so.
Those are facts.
He missed out a few.
Maybe. Like, I know he was nominated for Gangs in New York, but missed that.
Didn't he win for Gangs in New York?
I thought he won for Gangs in New York.
Did he?
I think he's won.
Oh, maybe it was...
My left foot.
No, the movie... Maybe it's the movie after Gangs in New York that he did about the fashion... Art.
Phantom Thread.
Not that. There was another one. before that.
He was nominated for Phantom Thread. He didn't win.
Yeah.
Like
Gangs of New York, he was a nominee. He didn't win.
Oh, okay.
In the Name of the Father, he was a name. He was nominated. He didn't win. But he's won for Lincoln, There Will Be Blood, and My Left Foot.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was my trivia question for next week for you.
So. He's been nominated 6 times. Okay.
Good for him.
Yeah, but not like loser. 21 times. That's crazy. Dork.
Gosh.
The real question is, who is the most winning Academy Award?
I think it's Walt Disney.
Other than, like, not like actress and actor, or actor.
Yeah.
Who has the most?
That's a great question.
That's a fantastic question. We should save that for next time.
We should think about that.
Maybe our audience could try to answer that and send us a friggin' message in our mailbag.
So aggressive about a friggin' message, you idiots.
That was my Putin coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it definitely was.
Send us a message.
I'm not a bad guy.
I'm not the bad guy.
You know?
That's you.
Yeah.
You're a Homelander.
I'm not a Homelander. Yeah. We actually, I didn't know this, but we share the same name, the actor and the...
Yeah, Anthony Starr, right?
His name is... He spells it without the H, Antony.
Oh,
okay. But Thank God you said name, though. I'm like, what else do you guys... What else do you want to share in common with Homelander?
We also share our love for killing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nazis. I'm like, no. I don't know about that.
Thank God.
I'll have to think about that. Why think about it?
Daniel. Anyways, so that was the movie podcast this week, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. It was my favorite episode of this week. I think personally that the 80th episode of this week was
great.
Yeah. 80 episodes. We've done this 80 times. Yeah. My God.
Imagine when we get to 90.
Woo.
And then 100.
Woo.
And then you can't stop us.
Ooh.
So we'll have more reviews coming out as we're, more screeners are coming out. So keep an eye on our movie podcast feed across all your favorite podcast services. Make sure to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or any of your podcast streaming services as well. Send us some questions, answers, or things that you want to see or eat, or things that you like. Send us words formulating sentences to thistimewith.com/talk. And of course, that was This Time with the Movie Podcast.
And we'll see you next. Thank you.